As I see what's happening today in our nation with this socialism, this communism that just kind of rising out of nowhere, kind of meteorically, I have to wonder if that's going to be the dominant political economic philosophy on the earth when the tribulation period begins. Could we be seeing today a part, what we're seeing today, could that be part of the downfall of America and kind of help explain the lack of any biblical reference to America in the end times? This kind of ideology will ultimately lead to the collapse of our nation as we know it today and as our superpower status. There's no doubt to me that socialism, democratic socialism as it's called, is tailor-made for the rise of the Antichrist because it ultimately seeks a one-world system of government. Revelation chapter 13 describes the rise of the Antichrist, called there the beast. It says, the whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. The beast was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And then this stunning rise of socialism could be another part of the stage setting for the rise of the Antichrist happening at the same time in conjunction with all of these other tools of world domination that we see arising around us.
Thank you, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, for setting the stage on our discussion. Say, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson says that the barbarians are inside the gates, referring to those pushing this radical socialist agenda. He went on to explain, quote, we are fighting right now in Congress over whether we're going to maintain our status as a constitutional republic or go down this dark road of death to communism. The speaker isn't crying wolf. The threat is real. Leftists can put a label on communism and call it democratic socialism, but it is Marxism, and it is dangerous, and it has resulted in the death of at least 100 million people worldwide, and we would lose almost every freedom. Many nations have gone down this path. Some of you are watching from nations that made that terrible decision. But to the believer, there is another dimension, and that is what the Bible prophesies, a coming one-world system with a one-world leader. The Antichrist will be a dictator that allows no freedom. Believers will be absent during that time. But again, we are watching the stage being set, the stage of what the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation. Just watch headlines, and you can be assured that this time is drawing closer every day. So today I begin some new programming that will feature on many of our online platforms. How are all of these events falling into place as history winds down? Believers prepare to ascend up, and the final chapter of biblical history closes. Joining me for each program will be Michelle Bachman, now with Regent University's Israel Institute. She served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 2007 to 2015 and ran for President of the United States in 2012. So, Michelle, welcome to the programming.
Thank
so
you,
glad
Jan.
You can join me today. And democratic socialism, let's just spend a few seconds on it. Quite frankly, you know, almost nothing surprises me because it's like I hear the hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, so I kind of expect absolutely anything. And I believe this is driven by strong delusion, but you are a seasoned politician, and tell me what you thought when you saw this rising on the American horizon, not Venezuela, not China, but the American horizon.
Well, it's shocking because our Constitution guarantees a Republican form of government, representative mm-hmm. form of government, and this is the opposite of that, the Democrat Socialists of America. I saw this rise in 2018 when AOC was running for the very first time for Congress because she didn't run as a Democrat. She ran as a Democrat Socialist. This is a brand new term. And so I spent a long time. I combed the entire website
for
Democrat Socialists of America. I called you up because I was shocked. And when you get down at the end of some of these rabbit holes, on their own website, they say that they began as the Communist Society of America, or the Communist Party USA. That's their origin. So it's like Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. The Democrat Socialists of America is communism, is Marxism, is totalitarianism. So when you hear Democrat Socialists, cut off Democrat. Yes. It's not Democrat. Yes. Yes. It's socialist. Yes. And it's worse than socialist. It's communism. It's yes. Marxism. And it's something that has nothing to do with our form of government or our form of success, quite frankly, in America.
Well, I think it would bring unspeakable hell to America. I'm going to have Mark Hitchcock weigh in just for a quick couple minutes, a clip here, because he's going to explain exactly at least some things that are on the platform of the Democratic Socialists, if we could play clip four.
Well, there's a publication called City Journal, and it summarizes the radical platform of the Democratic Socialists of America. It says, a rebooted platform for the organization features a host of radical proposals. The document commits DSA to scrapping the U.S. Senate. So no more U.S. Senate. Abolishing the carceral forces of the capitalist state. So get rid of capitalism. Defund the Department of War. So we no longer have a funding for our military. Amnesty for all immigrants, and replacing the president and the Supreme Court with an executive and judiciary chosen by and subordinate to Congress. So no more three equal branches of government. One branch will now have all the power. You know, our founders developed the three branches of government because they believed in the depravity of humanity. They believed that humans were fallen, and they didn't want too much power concentrated in the hands of one branch of government. That's exactly what democratic socialism desires. Here's some other things they want to do. They want to get rid of prisons. No arrests, no jails, no punishment, no borders. Well, they want to defund police. They want to enact the Green New Deal and all of the expenses that go with that, the trillions of dollars. They want to end any U.S. support of Israel, and they want to make Jerusalem the capital of a Palestinian state. So think about those, all of those things for just a moment. If all those things were instituted in the United States of America, you know, Marxist ideology has killed more people than any ideology on the planet. Marxist, the death toll from Marxism just in the 20th century is almost 100 million people. I mean, think about the nations that are Marxist nations and the massive failure that they've been. Cuba, you know, Vietnam. Vietnam instituted capitalism back in 1988 to rescue their country. Venezuela and all the disaster there, the USSR, Cambodia.
So, Michelle, you ran for president in 2012. Could you have envisioned this back at that time? Now, granted, socialism rising many, many, many other countries and the Democrat Party slipping more and more to the left all the time. But still, do you see this as something that has sprung on the scene quickly? As you said, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came into Congress 2018. Or do you think this goes beyond that? Because, quite frankly, Communist Party USA has been here for over 100 years.
Right. And there was an attempt to put communism into the United States also back in 1914, 1917. Yeah. There was an attempt by the Bolsheviks to try and take over the United States then. It didn't work. And the reason for that is because too many people in the United States had a background and a backbone regarding biblical understanding of history, but also just American history. People rejected socialism. They weren't interested in it. What people love is free stuff.
Yes.
And so when you are offered, oh, you get to have a free bus ticket, you get to have somebody else pay for your kids, you get free health care. Oh, that sounds wonderful. But the reality is somebody has to pay for it. So now in this instance with democratic socialism, how did it get here where it's acceptable, especially to young people? It's because of our education system. Okay. And you know that that's how I got started in politics in Minnesota.
Yes, that's right.
Because I saw all of the trash coming home in the backpack for our foster children. And so I did serious research. I spent 2,000 hours studying what went wrong with America's education. And it's very simple. In 1993, everything was completely changed in America's education system. That was under Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. It was a rejection of local control. Bill Clinton actually said America has to get over its love affair with local control. And instead, the federal government took over overall education. And so it was federal education standards, federal teacher standards, federal testing. So what that meant is federal curriculum. Okay. And the curriculum taught socialism.
Okay.
So you think about those who were in school in 1993. How old are they now? They're in their 30s.
Yeah.
So these are the ones who are now in Congress saying, we think socialism is great because that's what we were taught in our public schools. That was the curriculum. So what happens in the classroom in one generation goes into the government in the next generation.
But surely the Antichrist will be socialist, communist, Marxist.
Well, he'll be a dictator.
A dictator.
We know that. The scripture talks about him
but
as a dictator.
But he fits into this picture.
He fits into this economic system because there's no freedom.
No freedom.
And Satan comes to kill, steal, destroy. Everything that we saw Mark Hitchcock talk about, the socialists want to do, they want to steal from us our freedoms.
Yes.
There is not one country in the world without a Department of War. Not one.
Mm-hmm.
And so America is going to be left naked with no defense system. What this says is they hate America. Mm-hmm. They want to destroy America. Everything you saw on that list is to destroy America.
I want to add one more thing to not only the list, but our discussion here, because one of the primary victims, obviously America, secondary victim is going to be Israel. If we could play clip one, please, and then come back and talk about it.
Hey, meanwhile, more than 100 House Democrats voting against providing U.S. aid to Israel. Stunning. It's a shift from 2 years ago when 37 voted this way, and 10 years ago when none of them voted against Israeli aid. And now AOC is warning the rest of her party to get in line.
The majority of Democrats now have shifted where we are on this issue with respect to Israel. That the U.S. cannot continue to finance a reckless government that has no regard for human rights. I would certainly hope that anyone running for president in 2 years would not be stuck 10 years in the past.
She doesn't know what she's talking about, and she's never been to that region, but she's right about this. Even Nancy Pelosi, formerly one of the most pro-Israeli Democrats in Congress, now flipping to vote against the funding bill. And our next guest warns this is only the beginning as Jewish Democrats discover their loyalty to the party is not being returned. Fox News contributor Bill McGurn joins us now. Bill, are you shocked over 100 Democrats, and not including Hakeem Jeffries, because he voted to fund Israel aid, would vote against Israel?
No, it's not a shock. This is the direction the Democratic Party today has taken in America. 20 years ago would be a shock. I grew up in this area. So to see like the New York contingent especially be overtaken by anti-Israeli voices, I just would not have thought it imaginable. It's interesting that, look, you showed AOC speaking instead of Chuck Schumer because she better represents where the Democratic Party is going.
Your comments on this, Michelle, and then I want to bring in another little factor into all of this, and that would be the Red-Green Alliance. But again, Israel is clearly going to be the second victim of this kind of socialist push.
Well, it is, but we're also a victim because when we take the posture of cursing Israel as opposed to blessing Israel, we're the ones that are going to have
that
to deal with a fallout. And Israel also will be in the sight, line of sight, because the Democrat Party is now the anti-Israel party.
Clearly.
Other than John Fetterman, I have never seen this before, ever. And I left Congress in 2015, so that's 11 years ago. And so just think, this was a unanimous issue from both parties. Israel was not a partisan issue. And I can't believe it. And as a matter of fact, it was still a fairly bipartisan issue until October 7th of 2023. Yeah. So just when Israel was barbarically attacked, That's when the Democrat Party decided it'd be a genius move for them to point the finger at the ones who were hurt and then embrace the aggressor, the terrorist aggressor. It's like these people have beans for brains. They're moral monsters. I can't believe what's happened to the Democrat Party. I don't recognize the Democrat Party. My parents were Democrats. We, you know, that's if you were in Minnesota, you remember you were a Democrat when you were born. It was stamped on your birth certificate.
Not me, I'm
but
sorry.
I will tell you, it has changed so much. And this is something that the Democrat Party is going to rue the day that they went down this road, because they are literally embracing immoral monsters. Yeah. But there's something else people need to understand. This didn't just happen. This was intentional. And this happened with big money. Big money. Okay. Because Ambassador Mike Huckabee came out this last week. I talked, I think, on one of your prior shows about how Qatar had spent $100 billion targeting our viewers' kids to be able to capture their minds, to hate Israel and love the terrorists. And now Mike Huckabee came out and said, no, it's not $100 billion, it's $400 billion that Qatar has spent. So we shouldn't be pointing our fingers at Israel and saying, oh, you have a terrible information campaign. You have to have better social media. Well, they don't have $400 billion hanging around to spend on social media campaigns. They're trying to stay alive when terrorists are trying to bury them in their own land.
Okay, you raised the name of Ambassador Mike Huckabee, somebody I deeply admire, and I think most conservative people, and particularly Christians, do. I'm going to play, it's a 38-second little clip here, and sadly it goes back to somebody we no longer recognize, and that would be Tucker Carlson and one of his guests. And I tell you, the mocking and the scoffing that's going on, of course, that's predicted, 2 Peter, takes on a new life here. If we could play clip 2 and come back and talk about it right away.
Netanyahu and Ben-Gavir, and who's the ambassador there?
The U.S. ambassador is called Mike Huckabee.
Mike Huckabee, excuse me for laughing. But yeah, crazy Christian Zionist.
Right.
And you know what? And maybe at the bottom of it all is they're all waiting for the coming of the Messiah. They don't care. Well, Mike Huckabee obviously hopes it'll be Jesus, because then he can go to heaven with Mike Pence and the other Christian Zionists. I'm sorry to
I couldn't agree more. That's not Christianity, just for the record. It's not even a close facsimile of Christianity.
Well, in fact, I am waiting for the coming of the Messiah. There's a lot of problems in my life that will instantly go away once that happens. I suspect you are as well. But here's the point. This kind of satanic mocking over not only a good man, but the fact that people like you and me are waiting for a sound of a trumpet and a shout, and we are vacating from this very polluted planet.
I am so sorry to hear those words from Tucker Carlson, because he is stating an out-and-out 100% lie. What this fellow talked about with the Messiah coming again, that is Christianity.
That's
the whole point. Look at the scripture, the Old Testament prophecy, the New Testament, the words of Jesus himself. He is back. He said when he was ascending from the Mount of Olives, he said he will return in the exact same way. Mm-hmm. And then the angels confirmed that. So it is amazing to me that a mainstream communicator like Tucker Carlson would confidently state that this isn't Christianity, when that is the essence of Orthodox Christianity. And you're exactly right. That is mockers and scoffers. Yeah. And I pray for the repentance for both of them. I pray that they understand what the scripture is. I'd like to see them in heaven. But what they're doing is they're leading people astray. And that's why I think you and I are having this conversation, because I'm shocked. I never would have thought a Tucker Carlson would ever be on a show and actually straight up lie to his viewers and confidently state that's not Christianity. He doesn't understand anything about the Bible. He's been out saying that he's been reading the Bible and all the rest. And now he is actually, this is the epicenter of lying about the Bible, because this is the blessed hope. And yeah. he is telling us not only is it not the blessed hope, it's not true.
Yeah.
And he's just lied to the American or people all across the globe in a way I never thought I would see before. This is shocking to me, yeah. this clip.
Well, he's made the blessed hope the blasted hope. That's been going on for a few years here. But yes, it's accelerating. And the mocking is what is shocking. But again, that
it's a new era now.
Yeah,
it's a new era. And this is when you reject a standard, and that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. When you reject a standard, then all of a sudden, it's like everything falls off the table. You've got chaos. Mm-hmm. And so when we see how at the end times, the rise of delusion, the rise of deception, the rise of chaos, that's how it's going to happen.
That's right.
Why? Because truth is being exchanged for a lie.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson just did that. And so we have to pray for him.
Yeah,
pray
exactly.
For his soul.
So we've got a very significant date coming up here in September. It's going to be the 25th anniversary of 9/11. And that's one of those events everybody remembers where mm-hmm. they were. Everybody remembers the horror of that day. And as we're watching and these buildings come crashing down, and we have sadly thrown into the mix this year is a, again, Red-Green Alliance coming together under Mr. Mamdani, the mayor of New York City. My goodness.
Meaning Islamic takeover together with Marxism.
With Marxism.
That's the Red-Green Alliance.
Islam and communism coming together.
Yes.
Certainly, I would say, with Zohran Mamdani. Again, another lunatic leftist, antichrist-esque he is.
And an ignoramus. I mean, just
totally.
Like AOC. I mean, these people don't have no idea what they're talking about.
But who would have thought right after 9/11, 25 years ago, we would be talking about a Muslim mayor, for that matter, and you served under a president whose middle name was Hussein, so Americans elected a president with some Islamic ties. I can't fathom how this happened in both cases. They're both very, very serious. President, but mayor of America's largest city. Here we come on the 25th anniversary and just a month or two away. Give me your thoughts.
Well, his Marxism is destroying New York City.
Absolutely.
In front of our eyes. He's destroying it. But his Islamism, he wants to establish a global caliphate. And I told you that I just learned this week, he's actually Shia Islam.
Yes, he's sure.
That's
Shia.
The Iranian version.
Yeah, yeah.
So he embraces the Iranian version of Islam. It's as bad as it gets. As a matter of fact, the victims' families from 9/11,
they don't want
him anywhere near the ceremony. But because he's an in-your-face, arrogant person, his office said, oh, yes, he's going to be at the anniversary.
Unbelievable.
And if he had any decency in him, he would stay away. Because remember, with 9/11, he's the one who downplayed it. He is for the terrorists. He came out for the terrorists in 9/11.
Yeah.
Should someone who's on the side of the terrorists be there as mayor? And he has nothing to say. He's disqualified himself in every respect. I think that it's a shame what's happened, but people need to be forewarned in these upcoming elections in this midterm. There are a lot of Islamic people, just like Mamdani, just like AOC. They both embrace Islam. They both embrace, she's not Islamic, but she embraces it and she lifts it up. She's for El Sayed, the one who is running in Michigan for Senate.
Yes.
So she came out for him. So she embraces it. She's lifting up the Red-Green Alliance of Islam, making America into Islam. That's their goal. Let's face it.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. And communism. So this is what the new candidates are, which we can't even believe it, that we have gone from people who were, you know, traditional Republican, Democrat, had different views on how much money we should spend and different freedoms, to now we're talking about communism and Iran. that we're going to make America into Iran, and we're going to make America into communist China, communist Russia, communist North Korea, communist Cuba. That's literally what we're talking about. You and I are sitting here, 2026. We're normal humans in Minnesota. We can't. This was, I mean, we had liberals here in Minnesota, but we didn't have communist freaks, and we didn't have this sort of thing. Now we're living. Everything has changed. The whole table has been upended. And so now the new normal is that the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party.
Yeah.
It's now the party that wants to turn America into Islam. And it's the party that has wholesale rejected Israel. They hate Israel. Yeah. You can't find any senator other than Fetterman that has anything good to say about Israel.
Well, let's spend a minute on Iran. And that's That scenario changes literally day by day. The president spent a couple of weeks doing some damage in Iran. Mm-hmm. And as we speak, that has died down just a little bit. I'm intrigued by the passage in Ezekiel 38 that for that invasion, Gog and Magog, to happen, Israel is supposed to be dwelling in some time of peace. Okay, well, if we neutralize Iran, it's possible that Israel could have a short time of peace. I'm not sure we're going to neutralize Iran. My hunch is some mullahs are going to survive. And my concern is that we need to pray for the collapse of this regime because it represents what's known as, and you referenced it earlier, Shia Islam, which is the most dangerous kind.
Yes.
Shia Islam wants catastrophe.
Yes.
Shia Islam wants bloodshed. Shia Islam wants chaos around the world so that it can then come into the rescue and dominate
the
world.
Well, then the 12th Imam
and
emerges.
And the 12th Imam comes
on. What they say is there's an Imam that's hidden.
Yes, he's hidden.
And when there's fire and terrorism and bombing, then the 12th Imam comes out of hiding, and then he is their Messiah, because that means the entire world will turn to Islam. That's their belief system, the entire world. So what that means is if you don't kowtow to Islam,
correct,
you're dead. Under their system, you're dead.
Okay, so are negotiations just a delay tactic? I mean, how do you see...
That's how Iran's always done it. Negotiation
is delay.
But our
president
seems
to be falling for it.
Well, he's engaging in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense to me because Iran is literally at their weakest. I'll tell you, the biggest problem that the Trump administration had is that for whatever reason, Vice President Vance decided to spill the tea, spill the beans. And he told Erdogan, who's the head of Turkey, he told him that they were going to do a deal with the Kurds, and the Kurds were going to be the boots on the ground have regime change in Iran. That was exactly the right plan, the exact right thing to do. But why in the world did the vice president tell the president of Turkey that's what they were going to do? So then the president of Turkey persuaded Trump and Vance not to do that, but he also, then the news went out everywhere, so it was impossible. They couldn't do it. But we have to have regime change. There's just no question that's the only thing that can happen in Iran. You will not see a different Iran, because remember, there's 90 million people in Iran, somewhere around that, and those people are in captivity. They're in jail. They're basically in a horrified jail. They've been there for 48 years. So this is a disaster that's happened in the Middle East. President Trump was doing everything brilliantly. And then for whatever reason, Vice President Vance told the head of Turkey what their plan was, and it threw everything off balance. It's really sad that that happened.
Let me just play a quick clip of J.D. Vance. If we could play clip 6 and then come back and talk about it. It's very short.
Is that you've seen people within Bibi's cabinet who have come out and attacked the deal and in some ways very personally attacked the President of the United States. And I guess my message to them would be twofold. Number one, Donald J. Trump is the only head of state in the entire world who is sympathetic to the nation of Israel at this moment in time. And he happens to be the head of state of the world superpower. If I was in the cabinet of the Israeli government, I might not be attacking the only powerful ally that I have anywhere left in the entire world. Two-thirds of the defensive weapons that have protected your homeland have been built by American hands and paid for by American tax dollars. The problem for Israel is not Donald J. Trump. And anybody in Israel who thinks their biggest problem is the President of the United States needs to wake up and smell the reality of the situation.
Okay, now, my hunch is this is the 2028 Republican candidate for president. I think you would probably agree with me.
I don't agree.
You don't agree?
No, I don't agree.
You don't? Tell me why.
I know that there's been a lot of talk that it will be J.D. Vance. I think that he's disqualified himself because of the things that he's said on Israel. And there's a lot of people out there that want Marco Rubio to run or other people to run. So I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be J.D. Vance. But I want to say for the sake of our viewers that the very first statement stated by J.D. Vance is completely false. There's many other nations that are in support of Israel. Take a look at Argentina, Malay. There's many nations and many more coming out, and they're recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and they're putting embassies in Israel. So we have many heads of state now, especially in Latin America, South America. We're seeing a huge conservative turn down there. And they're isn't it interesting how these conservative nations are turning toward Israel? So his first statement's absolutely false. Mm-hmm. The other statement is that he's not recognizing what Israel gives us. We couldn't even begin to do the work that we do in the Middle East without Israel. They have the best intelligence service in the world. We'd have to build six CIAs to do what it is that Israel does for us. So this is a joint effort. Plus, we create new military equipment and we share that with Israel. And then the Israeli genius and engineers, they make it even better. And the deal that we have with the Israelis is they have to share the new and improved with us. And so this is to think that a nation of 8 million people, 9 million people, that they're able to be on par with us militarily, it's shocking. They are the best friend America's ever had. We would be poorer if we didn't have them in our gift. I don't know what it is with Vice President Vance. He is not pro-Israel.
Yeah, I know.
He tries to pretend that he is, but his statements have absolutely, and his actions have absolutely shocked me. Now, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, has been completely opposite. Yeah. He gets Israel. He understands it. He understands the strategic example. But I also think it's important for people to understand the sea of lies that we've been living in. These are lies paid for by Qatar. $400 billion is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Can we say that? $400 billion is a lot of money. And Qatar has this national news network called Al Jazeera. And Al Jazeera is all over the world. They're even here in the United States. Yeah. And they're putting forth their lies everywhere. And unfortunately, we actually have people in the highest echelons of our government believing Qatar's lies.
Yeah.
It may be because of some of the personal relationships that people have with Qatar, but Qatar was smart. There are 330,000 people. Yeah. They're the size of Pittsburgh. Yeah. And we're going to let them tell us what to do? It's because they have a lot of dough. That's why. Yeah. They have a lot of money. And so we have to get our moral compass right. That's what I like about you and your shows over the years. We're trying to get our moral compass is right if our biblical compass is right.
Right.
And
Thank
that's
you.
What we're trying to tune now.
So, and we've got some waning minutes here, but I want you've got 40 days of prayer and fasting coming up.
Yes, we do.
If you'd like to give it a one-minute plug, now's your time.
Yes, please. All the information that we've been giving you, a lot of it's tough to hear, but the very good news is through prayer. But this is something positive that we can do. This is our sixth year to do 40 days of prayer and fasting together. Jan has told her audience about this every year. You can join us, and I'll have a QR code that we could put on the end of our show today for more information. But please join us. This gives us such hope. This will give you hope. This will give you peace. And we'll come together Monday through Friday. It'll be starting in mid-August and will end on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And that is at the end of September.
And one more thought, Michelle, and then we'll wind this down. But if you could give President Trump just a word of encouragement or warning, for that matter. If you had 5 minutes with him, how would you advise him?
I would tell him that there is only one criterion upon which nations and mm-hmm. leaders are judged, and that's how they treated Zion. And that's not me saying it.
That's
the prophet Joel, chapter mm-hmm. 3, verses 1 through 3. And this is sobering to me, because nations need to recognize they will be judged, just as we as mm-hmm. individuals will be judged for our sin. Nations are judged. And I would let President Trump know that the balance is in his hand with yeah. his decision. Will America be blessed or will America be cursed? It's based on one criteria, how our nation treats Israel. It isn't just America. It's every nation
throughout all
of history. And how does that leader treat Zion? And so I would let him know, you know, Israel can make their own decisions about their world. We have been a very good friend to them. They've been a good friend to us. The best thing that we could do is supply them. They pay for it. We could supply them with the weapons that they purchase from us, and then we get out of the way, and we take the handcuffs off of them and say, do what you need to do to stay alive, whether it's with Lebanon, whether it's yeah. with Iran, or any of the other terrorists that surround them. Just let them do it. And if they ask us for weapons, we supply them.
He, and not that long ago, he told Israel to stay out of Lebanon, to stay out of Syria. Well, they're there because they're defending their country.
They're there because they were attacked.
Yeah.
In every
instance. They don't
want
any more attacks.
That's right.
And yet the president told them to stay out of those countries, which and you and I communicated at that time.
Yes.
I was very, very concerned about that kind
of
advice.
Well, it's the exact opposite advice that the president should have been giving, because they have every right, just like we have every right.
We do.
If we are attacked, we have the right to defend ourselves. How many people have said Israel has the right to defend herself? Mm-hmm. That's why it was shocking what President Trump said, because Israel does have a right to defend themselves.
Of course.
They were attacked by the worst terrorist organization, Hezbollah, that's located in Lebanon. They are attacked almost every day. Mm-hmm. And just this week, there were huge attacks from Hezbollah affiliated in Judea, Samaria. And
that's
so
right.
What's Israel supposed to do? If they put their gun down, they're dead.
They're dead.
Because their enemies are very clear. It's even written in the charter of Hamas. Our goal is we kill every Jew. How much more needs to happen to think that these people are serious? Do we think they're insincere? These are not insincere terrorists. These are terrorists that are acting on their belief. And so this is what I don't understand about President Trump. He is brilliant in every way. I love President Trump. I support him. He's done brilliant things on Israel, but he's absolutely gone weird on some things with Israel that I don't understand. So he's great on the economy, great on so many things. But when it comes to Israel, the one thing a president can't get wrong,
which we have said for 10 years,
he's half, I would say it's a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. He's like half right, half wrong. And I don't get it. And just this weekend, just this last week, I guess actually the last 2 weeks, he was really good because he was taking out the Iranian threat, and then he hit another pause button. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which direction he's going to go. Nobody knows. He came out last week and he said that he was going to give Saudi Arabia a nuclear program. And then the next day he said, well, it's only dependent on if you recognize Israel and join the Abraham Accords. I wouldn't give it to him even with that. So he's going back and forth, and I think he's confusing people.
Well,
he needs to be clear.
He's getting some input from Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff that may not be the most
sound. From the beginning, he's gotten a lot of bad advice from them.
I mean, he needs to pay attention to who he's listening to, but
well, that's where we can pray.
That's why we
want you to join us with 40 days of prayer and fasting, because we pray for Israel, we pray for America, and we will be praying for all these things.
Folks, we're going to do this on a frequent basis, so I want you to pay attention to whatever platform you're watching this on. And bottom line is, as you watch things, well, in the headlines, in the news, you may be thinking everything's falling to pieces. Nope, just keep in mind, everything is falling into place. So we hope you join us next time here on this programming.